welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Ryans, and today is July 21st, 2010. Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan on doing any online shopping, first go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon to start your shopping experience today. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon, original air date September 7th, 1944, and the title is A Frame Up That Failed. Now, before we get started, quick history note. I couldn't find anything necessarily important. I mean, 1944, we were still in the midst of a war, so, you know, there's a lot of battles that happened, nothing that, you know, stands out in my mind. So instead, I'm going to bring you the number one song for all of September, and that's actually called On a Star by Bing Crosby, and here it is.
Would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. New kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Pretty cool song. I did put a link in the show notes at otrwesterns.com. Click that and you can actually buy it from Amazon. So I hope you guys enjoy. And let's get into today's episode.
The Challenge of the Yukon. The Wonder Dog King, swiftest and strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the new Northwest country, where the greed for wealth and power led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, Sergeant Preston and his Wonder Dog King met that challenge, and justice ruled triumphant. In a small, garishly furnished walk-up apartment on a nondescript Seattle street, two men sat talking. Blackie Lewis was the older of the two, and his face wore an expression of impatience as he glanced from the cards he was cutting with practiced fingers.
I tell you, Blackie, there's not a thing I can do about it. He won't change his mind.
You said that before.
You've been getting your cut on everything. It's easy money, kid.
Sure, sure it is. Or was. Because I'm going with him.
Look, what's got into you anyway? You going sentimental? So the two of you have stuck together all this time. You're orphans, ain't you? Both you and him have made your own way. You don't know that sap a thing.
Don't call Eddie a sap, Blackie. Maybe he doesn't see a lot of things the way I do. But he's not dumb, see?
You think that stuff in the newspaper is on the level?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure I do. They brought a ton of the real McCoy in on that boat, didn't they? Just think, Blackie. A ton of gold.
Yeah, I am thinking. I never heard of the place before, but there's no reason why we couldn't...
Couldn't what?
Yeah, maybe I was wrong. Things haven't been so good here lately. The last brush I had with the law was a little too close.
I don't get what you're driving at.
Let me see that paper. How soon are you two leaving?
Oh, not for a couple of weeks. 3 at the most. Why?
Kid, I'm going to meet you there. Let's see. Yeah, I'll meet you in Dawson, Yukon Territory.
Several months passed. At Inspector Maynard's office at headquarters of the Northwest Mounted Police, Sergeant Preston stood in front of a map of the territory, listening to his superior officer.
Unfortunately, we have only the description of the robbers which the bank clerk supplied before he died. And that won't be a great deal of help to you since the bandits wore bandanas over their faces. Here you are.
You're right. Doesn't say much. All you can get out of this is that there were 2 men.
Yes.
If they're responsible for all of this murder and robbery, they've got quite a score behind them.
It's your job to see that they settle their score, whatever it is, Sergeant.
I'll start to work on it immediately, sir.
You think you'll need any assistance on the case?
Well, King and I usually...
That's right. I forgot for the moment. King's your assistant, eh? I never did understand that. But handle this any way you like. Just so as those men are brought to justice. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. I hope I won't need it.
Thus began many days on the trail for Sergeant Preston and the great dog King. They stopped at the towns where the crimes had been committed, pausing only long enough for the Mountie to ask questions and then move on. The trail ended abruptly at Burgess City. While the policeman made that settlement his temporary headquarters, he searched painstakingly for clues of the 2 men he sought. Meantime, at a small cabin several miles north of the sprawling boomtown, Edward Warner knelt on the floor in front of Kathy Merrill to unfasten the thongs on her snowshoes.
I'm awfully glad I met you on the trail, Kathy. I don't often have the pleasure of walking with you.
Well, good heavens. I think that's more words than you've said to me since the day I met you.
Well, I've been meaning to tell you how grateful Johnny and I are to you. I mean your father, for the way he's been to us.
Oh, nonsense. Father likes you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told you about that strip of land next to ours. He staked a claim on this property that's really very worthwhile. But he thinks you two will make a strike on your land that may be every bit as good.
Well, I hope he's right. Only it's Johnny he likes. Johnny's a great guy. You know, I've known him since we were kids. Why, I remember...
Honestly, Eddie, don't you ever talk about yourself?
Huh? Well, there isn't much to tell about me, but...
Oh,
then...
Eddie.
Well, what's wrong?
Nothing at all. Guess the wall of Jericho would have to fall down in front of you before you'd see what I... Oh, never mind.
As Eddie Warner walked from Merrill's cabin toward his own, Kathy watched him from the window with an exasperated frown on her face that softened to a smile. Bending his head against the wind, Eddie was haunted by a mental picture of the girl, her hair, her eyes, the timbre of her voice. He shook his head and walked faster. Later that evening in Burgess City, Johnny Patterson stood at the bar in the Golden Nugget Cafe. Blackie Lewis was beside him, but the younger man looked morosely at the contents in the glass he held instead of listening to his companion.
So, while I was playing poker this afternoon, they told me about the Mountie in town. Seems like he's... Say, what's eating you anyway?
Blackie, my trigger finger's getting itchy again.
Oh, so that's it, huh? And what's the deal?
You know Merrill.
Sure. He's the one that tipped you off to the land out there, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, so far, we ain't turned up much gold, though. But he's got more of it in that mine of his than you or me ever saw before.
Hmm.
We can move in on that.
What about this collar you're... You'd have a hard time pulling anything with him around.
Well, the Mountie's in town, isn't he? So, if it had looked like Eddie was the one who killed Merrill...
You mean frame him? Hey, why this sudden change of heart? I thought you and him... I get it.
You get what?
Listen, kid, don't try to fool me. I've been around a long time. There's only one thing that can bust up a friendship between two men, and that's a woman. So, well... You're jealous of him, huh?
Jealous? He's too dumb to open his mouth. But that don't seem to make any difference to her. Anytime the three of us are together, it's him she listens to. When she can get him to talk. No, I'm not jealous. Just clearing away the obstacles, that's all.
All right, you can count me in. Yeah, but there's one thing, kid. With the Mountie in town, I'm a little leery of keeping them money bags and pokes at the hotel. Can you take my share and keep it with yours till he clears out?
Sure. I'll take it back with me.
What about your pal? Any danger of him finding it?
Don't worry. I've got it hid where he'll never think of looking. Besides, we won't have him to consider much longer. Now, you come out to the cabin with me tonight. The two of us will work on a plan. I've already got an idea, but I'll need you to back me up. So come on, let's not waste time.
It was mid-afternoon of the next day. A light snow fell. And inside Merrill's cabin, Johnny Patterson leaned back in his chair to look at the old man, who was examining some samples of ore.
So, Kathy went in to get the supplies. I told her she better not waste any time getting back here. You never know when these light snows will turn fierce.
That's right.
I've been mighty happy since you came up here, my boy. It's company for both Kathy and me. It used to be pretty lonely.
Yeah?
But it's more pleasant now. And I wish you all the luck in the world with you. Johnny! Johnny!
This revolver's loaded, Mr. Merrill.
Johnny, have you lost your mind? What's the meaning of this? Put down that gun.
Not before I put one of these slugs right through your heart, old-timer.
You must be insane. Johnny, please, listen to reason.
It was much later that night. And in the cabin where Johnny Patterson and Edward Warner made their home, Sergeant Preston looked from the two young men to Blackie Lewis, finally at Kathy Merrill. The girl's face was white, her eyes red from weeping, but she sat straight and still, making an effort to control her sorrow. King lay on the floor, his head resting between his paws while he watched the proceedings alertly.
This bullet was fired from a revolver that belongs to you, Warner?
Yes, the revolver is mine, but I didn't have it with me today. I went hunting and took Johnny's rifle.
Johnny Patterson shot a quick glance at Eddie. It seemed to say so much. It seemed to say, so you want him to believe you were out hunting. All right, I'll back you up. Preston noticed the look and turned to Johnny.
He took your rifle?
Yes. He took the rifle, Sergeant.
And you?
Blackie and I tried to do some work on the claim today. The snow came up, so we quit and we came inside. Spent the afternoon playing two-handed poker, as a matter of fact.
I see. You didn't go to Merrill's cabin at all today.
I guess it's my fault that we didn't, Sergeant. I was pretty anxious to see this claim Johnny told me about.
King turned his attention from the small group in front of him and looked instead at a corner of the room. His eyes were cocked forward eagerly as he raised his head.
Well, Patterson, seems you have someone to back up your alibi. Now, what time did your friend leave to go hunting?
I don't exactly remember, but he did go hunting.
Warner, you were alone most of the day. With this snow to cover your tracks, it'd be impossible to determine whether or not you went to Mr. Merrill's cabin. Now, the fact remains that you went hunting, but you didn't bring anything in. I'm afraid I'll have to put you under arrest.
Arrest?
Yes, for investigation of murder.
Say, listen, what's that noise?
Well, I don't know. Sounds like a scraping of some sort.
Probably a rat, Mr. Lewis. We were troubled with a few of them at the cabin until Dad got rid of them with traps. It looks like King discovered the rat.
Sergeant Preston turned a glance at King, and from the corner of his eyes, he saw one of the floorboards on which the dog had placed the weight of his front paws went down. And then banged as King leaped back with amazing agility.
Come on, get away from there. Sergeant, call him over here. That's a fine dog like that shouldn't be chasing rats.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a loose floorboard.
You ought to nail that down, Patterson. You could twist your ankle pretty badly stepping on
the other. Well, I'll fix it, Sergeant. There's no need for you to...
Johnny Patterson left the sentence unfinished, for he saw the Mountie reach into the cavity in the floor, and quickly he reached for a revolver, swinging around to cover the occupants of the room. King had not seen, but he had sensed the action, and he turned, looking at the man, waiting tensely for some sign from Preston.
You can drop what you got in your hand, Sergeant.
Oh, money bags from the bank in Southboro.
Yeah, and a lot more folks in there without names on them. They ain't gonna do you any good. It's too bad that dog of yours got nosy. Get his gun, Blackie.
Johnny. Johnny, you mean you've had those there all this time?
With the murders you've got behind you, Patterson, I guess one more wouldn't make any difference to you.
And your guess would be right, too. Sure, I killed Merrill. Blackie and me was going to move in on a claim. I figured on Mary Cathy once Eddie was out of the way.
Mary, you! Well, you murderer!
Now, don't be so hasty, baby, because you're going with me. I'm going to kill you, Sergeant. And you too, Eddie. By the time you're found, Blackie and me will be out of the Yukon.
I won't go a step with you, not a step.
You've got everything pretty neatly planned out, Patterson.
There's just one thing you've overlooked.
Yeah, what's that?
The same dog who uncovered your loot.
Eddie King!
Get that dog away! No. Maybe I'm handcuffed.
Get him away! Get him away!
No. Try to break out of that hole, Lewis.
Now drop that gun, Patterson.
Drop that gun!
Let go of my arm. I'll... Get that dog away from my ankle. Get him away!
All right, King. Now, you're under arrest, both of you. You unlock those handcuffs, will you, Miss Merrill? Here's the key.
I certainly will. Oh, Eddie, I'm so glad. I couldn't believe you'd done it. You never opened your mouth to say you didn't.
I couldn't believe myself when I saw Johnny didn't believe me.
You put on a good act, Eddie. Pretending anxiety to back up your story, and at the same time tearing it apart with a tone of his voice.
Eddie, won't you ever say it? Won't you ever ask me?
Why, I... Kathy.
And now, Patterson, you and Blackie are headed for jail. But you can take it from me, you won't stay there long. You've both got an appointment with a hangman. Yes, fella. Thanks to you, the case is closed.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit. All characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. They are sent to you each week at this same time. Bob Height speaking. This program came to you from our transcription studios. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Check out the show notes at otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Until the next show, have a great day, and we'll see you guys later.